Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and alongside me is David Curry, and we are thrilled to have you with us today. Today, we are excited to welcome Seth Wallace, a remarkable leader at Orca Life. Seth has been with Orca for over 5 years and has made an incredible strides in his career. He has opened a new territory in West Virginia and grown his agency, Senior Care Global, to nearly $4 million in production. And Seth personally produced over 932,000 in production. Seth leads from the front, takes risks, and is truly committed to empowering others. So, Seth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, welcome, Seth. Lindsay, you forgot to mention that this is my most current tennis rival. And yeah, Seth has a nice colored background in collegiate tennis. So.
Right.
We have a blast, man. I'm excited that you're here. Look forward to what you're going to share with us today. We're going to kind of take a deep dive into your story and maybe some of the leadership lessons you've learned on that journey. We like to start out with a quote podcast with a quote that we can break down. And this week's quote is, "Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth." Marcus Aurelius, Marcus was one of the last of the five great Roman empires and is widely known and respected as a great leader and representative of Stoic philosophy and spirituality. So I feel that just fits your old soul so well. So what I pull out of that quote myself is really perspective, Seth. And, you know, we've always talked about your perspective as a choice. And I know that myself, you, Lindsay, we could all look at the same thing and see different colors, different pictures. So when you hear that, Seth, what does that quote mean to you?
Yeah. Definitely piggybacking off of what you said there, just the perspective, but also just the fact that we kind of are able to control, you know, how we perceive things as well in some light. And we can kind of change the narrative of how we do things and how others may see things just through that. So just it allows us to kind of create and see the world through our own viewpoint, and you know, for something to be collaborative, people are going to see things different ways, you know, just from the team aspect inside of the final expenses, it's side of the final expense world. But to me, that's good, because, you know, if everybody saw the same thing, it wouldn't be as fun and we wouldn't accomplish as much. So we can kind of determine what is true for ourselves, but that might not be what's true for someone else. So it was definitely I definitely took some time and kind of reread that quote over and over, but it's good because it challenges me, you know, to kind of think at a deeper level, even right now, answering this question and looking at that quote. But I think, you know, just having the opportunity to control and perceive things our own way, and the opportunity to kind of change that down the line and take someone else's perspective, I really think that is something that we could all do and all use. And the more open our minds become, the more we're able to do that. So,
good point. And let me ask you this, because you graduated from Hanover, correct? All right. And you were a superstar tennis player. Is that correct?
Depends who you ask, but I was on the tennis team.
We're on the tennis team. Okay. And so when you're talking about perspective and you were looking at Orca Life, you know, can you share a little bit about your perspective of commission-based sales? You know, you had just graduated from Hanover right before you jumped in with Orca. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So I had the job lined up for May of 2019, right when I graduated. And I think I started training in June or July or I started training in June and I wrote my first piece of business in July. But actually before that, I had from another fraternity brother of mine, graduate brother, had set me up with interviewing with another company out of Louisville. You know, I think it was maybe $50,000 a year. And I went through all the way to the end and I didn't get the job, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Definitely the best thing that ever happened to me, because I definitely would have went that direction. But it certainly turned out to be a blessing in disguise at the moment, but no longer disguised. The opportunity, you know, I think I've always had such a good support system and really mentality that the commission-based sales never, ever scared me. You know, even in my first week out when I really didn't have much to my name, I just knew that I was going to go get it and I had been trained a certain way and I was going to go do it. So coming into it, you know, I knew if I was going to do something, I was going to succeed at it and do it well. So at the end of the day, you know, my perspective on it was that there was an opportunity and that there was a chance that I was going to take that others maybe weren't going to. So that was going to set me up for success in the future. I also had a great conversation with Scott. I'm going to plug Scotty Moe here. But our interview was, I think he was really the right guy to interview me just because, you know, he's been a great mentor and we've had a great business relationship all the way through. But him just kind of setting it up and explaining exactly how Orca worked and what it is that we did. My perspective, I'm sure, was different than other people that had taken the jump, but I was more excited looking at a full commission opportunity without a ceiling than I was, you know, nervous, scared. There's obviously times when things were new, things were unknown. There were jumps that I had to take, but my perspective going into this opportunity is what I, you know, saw it as was as just that, an opportunity and a challenge and something that I was, you know, going to put my mind to and succeed.
Well, something I would like to ask, you know, thinking about this, you just graduated from Hanover. And a lot of times when we're interviewing folks that have just graduated college and then they go into a full commission sales position, sometimes they get, you know, they get some questions from their parents. So were your parents supportive or did they have a lot of questions for you? What did that feel like for you?
Honestly, they've always been really supportive and never. They've always really just trusted me, maybe even when that's not the right thing to do. But in this instance, it was. So
I guess at some point they just throw their hands up. All right, I won't say.
Throw in the towel and, you know, just whatever. No, but no, it's kind of semi the opposite of that, you know, because they had seen me succeed in different areas of my life growing up and they had me, you know, and that kind of support and that kind of, you know, trust in me as even, you know, a 22-year-old kid looking back is very powerful just because at the end of the day, knowing that they support me and that they're going to, you know, see this through with me, no matter how it goes, was awesome. So nothing but support and happiness. And, you know, from the start, my mom, it's still pretty abstract to someone who isn't actually in the business, you know, but they are obviously at this point in time very, very proud. And, you know, my mom's always said that it just seemed from the start like it was a great fit and it was the right industry for you to be in. And of course, you know, 10, 15, 20 year old kid, I wasn't dying to get into final expense life insurance. But when the opportunity found myself, you know, it's more the career opportunity, the upward potential, the chance to help others, the chance to get others up on their feet. All of that just bodes really well with me, with my, you know, my soul and my mission and everything. So now a lot of that comes from the top, too. If I had had parents that were critical and nervous and don't, you know, God, get something cushy, then maybe I wouldn't be here right now because I take a lot of stock into their opinion and what they say. So
Great point. Support is so important.
Correct.
Yeah, that's everything. You know, I had to work against that. So as you say, you know, as you kind of shed light on the effect of their opinion, I can kind of see how maybe some of my perspective had been formed
right,
from the influence of others in my life. Yeah. Like you say, maybe your parents or maybe your closest to you. And I love how you said that, Seth, and it just does go to bode, go show how you are fit for the business, because a lot of the conversations we always have, number one, we've always had the opinion that your college graduate feels like, you know, they're coming out, they've worked hard to earn this degree, they've spent so much time, now somebody owes them something, like, you know, I've earned my way to, you know, to this silver platter that I should be handed. And, you know, we all know the real world isn't quite like that most of the time. So for you to come out and not feel that and still feel that hunger and drive that I just want an opportunity and I'm going to take that, I'm going to put it on my shoulders and I'm going to make something of it. That is exactly what you have to succeed in the business, which is why you've done so well. And then also it's the perspective shift that you didn't really have to go through. Because I did, you know, that not having the guaranteed income, not having any kind of, you know, security blanket when it comes to making sure that bills are paid. And, you know, I'm cut from the cloth of the money makes the world go round. And when you have a job that there's no guaranteed income, it's kind of a different thought than 95% of America really walks around with. So, that goes to your character. When you think about that perspective you had on commission-based sales, did you have someone in your family close to you that you saw in a sales position that said, you know, this guy's winning? Like, what usually it takes proof for you to know that, or how did you know that?
Honestly, not really. I just kind of, you know, had always wanted to get into the sales world just because I'd always liked talking. I always, you know, sold buddies on doing different things and trying different things. And everybody had kind of always thought that I would be good at the sales, or good at sales in general. So no, Hanover was also a small enough school to where we didn't have like a sales degree or even a business degree. So I was an economics major, which was the closest thing to business. I know I didn't want to do that because it was pretty, you know, meticulous and numbers based and hard, which I was always okay at, but I knew I didn't want a career in anything like that. I knew I had to be doing something where I'm doing something different every day, where I'm visiting with and interacting with people. And I also knew that sales aspect would be something that I could succeed in. And I always had, you know, seen the high potential there. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. He was in West Virginia oil for a while. And he had always made a very good living for himself. He had his feet in a bunch of different buckets, but wasn't actually sales per se. But, you know, he was kind of a business mentor, I guess, per se, and had always kind of matched up personality wise with him. But I hadn't really, know any specifics on that.
Yeah. And that I've always said the same, you know, my grandfather was an entrepreneur, and that entrepreneurial spirit, we've learned that you're always selling, you know, life is about sales.
And so,
how old are you? How old are you now?
28.
Good God. Is that gray hair? I mean, 28. Yeah. When did you start? How long have you been here now?
May 2019. So that'd be 5.5 years.
So 22 year old college grad.
Girl before. Yeah. And then, yeah.
So, you know, insurance, you made the comment, and I say it a lot. No, if you go around, we've got young kids, 9 years old to three. You ask any of these kids what they want to do when they grow up, none of them are walking around with the briefcase and their sweater vest wanting to be Mr. Insurance Man or Mrs. But you've seen the benefit at a young age of what the insurance business can do for somebody, and more particularly our position. So speak to, if that young person had the thought process or perspective of risky business in a commission-based position, why would a young man, young woman want to get into our business? And what would you say to them if they felt like it's risky being out there in commission-based sales?
Right. And I love this question because, I mean, to me, risk is good because risk is going to determine, you know, your gutsy, strong-willed, hardworking individuals from, you know, others who are fine with comfortability and complacent and this, that, and the other. So, you know, the greater the risk, the greater the reward, in my opinion. So making an uncomfortable jump is going to be something that not everyone is willing to do. You know, if everybody in the working class had gotten a $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 commission statement in a day, then everybody would do this job, just because when we have a great day, a great week, a great month, that feeling is hard to match. And it's really a feeling that not a lot of other people would take, but there's so much between that actually happening and you taking that initial jump that, in my opinion, you know, the greater the risk, the greater the reward. You know, if you're not willing to be put yourself in an uncomfortable position to get where you need to be, then go find something else. But if you are willing to take that risk and you are willing to fully buckle up and buckle in, you're going to put yourself in a position that not a lot of other people are going to be in. You know, and just to be frank with you, there's not a lot of peers of mine that are in the same position that I'm in. A lot of them because they weren't willing to either take a risk or, you know, they just didn't know it was out there. So,
great point. And when you think about this business, and I know we've shared this before on prior episodes, there is a lot of risk getting into this, right? But we have a 8-step sales process that really allows for folks to set them up for success, right? Between the 25 leads that they receive each week, the 12 sits that produces on Orca's numbers, 5 to 7 applications. And so there is proof of concept in our business, in Orca's model, and what we really help folks and help equip folks with. So not only that, but, you know, something that always drew me to this business were the trips, right? Because I love a good experience. And I know Shaggy, Seth loves a good experience. Sorry, we call him Shaggy off air. But Seth loves a great experience. And so that is something that always got me excited and, you know, just about this business. So let me ask you this. Now, you opened up a new territory, and I know you've been very active in recruiting, You've got a lot of folks that you're training at this moment. How has Orca helped equip you for that?
I mean, really just from, you know, A to Z, can't really say Z because we're not our final destination, but every step in between, Orca has been just nothing but supportive from top to bottom. And everyone that I kind of called and let know what I was thinking of was really pushing me that direction. And Pat Holder, who has been on this and had a great, great podcast that I had listened to a couple times with you all and had shared with the team as well. But he was the one that really kind of put the bug in my ear and pushed me to do that and make that move, because it was something that he had done and he is, you know, now reaping the results of that. So just more or less after Pat had pushed me to do that, everyone inside of Orca from top to bottom was only supportive and excited for me to make that move. Now, you know, inside of that comes moving somewhere that, while my grandpa and my grandma, or my dad is from West Virginia, his side of the family, I had never actually been to Morgantown before in my life. I didn't know anyone there and I'd never been there. So that's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, with the support and with the opportunity, getting with Jordan and Jacob, finding new places to work has allowed me to, you know, put myself into a position to succeed, put others up in this market in a position to succeed, you know, open up 2 states that had never been worked in Orca and be able to prove that everywhere, you know, in final expense land is quintessentially similar, not the same, but you're going to be able to help folks that need our help no matter where you're at. If you're in Maryland, if you're in Colorado, you know, those are, I think, the eastern and western borders of where, actually Arizona. So I've worked Arizona to Maryland, and Maryland and Pennsylvania being 2 new markets that we've helped open, but just having that opportunity and that option out there, as well as, you know, 20, 30 new counties in different states that had never been worked before, just expanding that horizon and that territory. It also gives an opportunity to kind of spend some more one-on-one time with some guys to come out here and train them up, and gives really a little less pressure on, you know, Orca as a whole, kind of opening up new territory and having those new areas be worked. But just the support, you know, whether it's that, whether it's, you know, calling Glenn and Scott and getting on a meeting with them, figuring out what we need to do next, or having just the team come up here and work and spend some time. It's been awesome. And it was, you know, besides saying no to that, or besides not getting an initial job offer and ending up at Orca, it's been probably the second best thing that's happened to me. It's coming up here because, you know, I've made a life for myself. I still have family and friends in Orca and everything at home. But now in Morgantown, I'm very plugged in a lot of ways. I've got a great friend group, got a great girlfriend, big fan of all the sports and all that out here. So it's been a great, great place to be. And that's because of, you know, initially Pat pushing me and then having nothing but kind words and support from everyone.
Well, it comes back. I mean, as you talk, I think about what you said, and the greater the risk, the greater the reward, right? Right. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback or get back into that, open it up for just a second. When you think about the risk and the unknown of commission, like you starting here, you didn't really pioneer anything, did you?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. It was, you know, laid out by people that had trudged through the tough grounds to make it easier on us. Yeah,
that's what I've always said, right? Like, that's the best thing about this commission-based opportunity is that you're doing the same thing that we started doing 25-plus years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, as you were saying that, I'm thinking new territory, same game, right? Same game, new place. So I love that you've done phenomenal being up in that new market. And, you know, we set out a long time ago to blanket this country with these little Orca offices and making the influence and impact that we can make. And you've done a great job expanding that. One of those other things, the philosophies that we've always operated with is as you grow that business and as you bring those new people into this industry, we now care more about their success than our own. That's kind of a mantra and a philosophy that we operate with that continues to push down the culture and what it is that you've seen. As you say, it's the support from Orca. You are now operating through those principles for folks that you have, that you are leading.
Right.
What has that been like? Because I know those things, that changes things.
100%. And it's kind of like a, you know, euphoria moment. Whereas when you start realizing that, you know, leadership and selflessness should go one in the same and have to go one in the same if you want it to work, is when you really start to win. And, you know, last week we had a very successful recruiting event where I told every single agent to the T that what separates Orca from a lot of these other companies and agencies is that everyone who's in their position at Orca, who's done well, is only there because of someone else's selflessness and the path that was paved. And for that exact reason, they're going to do everything it takes to see you succeed. And eventually you're going to be doing the same thing. So, you know, when you look up at somebody who's written a bunch of business, who's grown a great team, they have not done it themselves. And it hasn't been easy, but it was easier than the person that did it before them. And now they're able to use that. And that couldn't make the person that helped them happier, you know? So that selflessness is something that kind of it has to be realized and has to be utilized, or it's not going to work. It's not about you. You know, we say that all the time. Congratulations. It's no longer about you. It's about those others. And when your goal is to see them succeed and you're going to do everything in your power to succeed, you'll be surprised, you know, how far that team can go together. Or if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I think David Kerr minted that quote.
I don't know if I've minted much, but that's a Maxwell thing. There's a John Maxwell for that. A lot further down that line than myself. But Seth, you know, we can make this thing seem easy, right? Like, oh man, we've been doing it for 25 years. It's already, the road's paved for you. All you got to do is show up, go out and do it. But we know it comes with challenges. So as you've led people, What have been some of the things that you've learned or maybe have helped you grow as you've been in your leadership position?
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, kind of coming from a leadership position is having to practice what I preach has really helped me. And actually, you know, because best practices are what we preach all the time and what we want things to do. But then you realize, well, what? Hold on a second. Am I doing all these things? You know, am I actually making these changes? Am I getting out and knocking at this time? You know, am I as plugged in as I should be? So some challenges for myself, obviously, because if you're doing this thing fully correctly, it's going to take a lot of energy and effort. So putting that energy and effort in and kind of changing how I lead and how I operate, you know, in turn has done its work and kind of set an example for the other guys. The Seth at 2024 going into 2025 is entirely different guy than Seth even going 2023 into 2024. Cause that Seth was a lot closer to the other Seths. So when I fully bought in and had made some, you know, lifestyle and behavior and work related changes, that was obviously a challenge. But it's for the greater good. Cause you know, I can stagnate and float along doing things one way, or I can make adjustments and changes, and see the results, because everything in this business is so tangible that, you know, if you're not producing and your team's not producing and your numbers aren't good, they're right in front of you to stare at you in the face and say, what's wrong? What are you doing? So that's, you know, obviously a good thing. But sometimes that can be hard to see. And you know, 2023 was not the year I wanted it to be. So I made some concrete adjustments and changed the way that I did things, in turn, seeing results everywhere. So
that's great, man. Great, great perspective. And I'll plug John again with this one. And he's always said, people don't do what they hear. They do what they see. So
right.
That's great. That's great that you're living that out.
It's so true. And really just looking in the mirror, right? I mean, that was a lot of times just I remember starting out, like, you know, if I was going to ask an agent to knock at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I had to look in the mirror. Okay, am I doing the same thing, right? Am I setting the example? So let me ask you this. What you Seth, being in the business for over 5.5 years at this point, you've probably seen a lot of changes, some for the good, especially with technology and what we have today. What's your opinion of the industry and its longevity, being in this business for as long as you've been at this point?
I mean, man, I can't really say enough about, you know, sales and then specifically insurance as a whole, just because of what it's done for me and, you know, and what I know it can do for others. And then obviously what's to come as it evolves, things are, you know, quite a bit different than when I started, but it's all been for the better. And we're always evolving. And inside of this, you know, recession-proof, COVID-proof industry where things are changing, and you know, it's a lot of times you wouldn't really appreciate it if you hadn't been in the other position. And I feel like that's going to be the same thing 5 years, 5.5 years from now, right? So I always still tell people coming into the business that I think we're still on the ground floor of this whole thing. Here at Orca, you know, here at SCG, and then insurance in general, because it's always going to be something that people need, and there's always going to be ways to evolve. It's a very lucrative industry, but it's also a very service-based oriented industry where when we are interacting with people, that need is never going to go away. And there's always going to be, you know, room to grow and change. And that's exactly what these, you know, larger industries are doing. And that's exactly what we're doing. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. And as you say that, I just want to make sure that we put AmeriLife in that picture.
Exactly.
You know, AmeriLife has been a company that we are now completely plugged into and in love with. But as I think about their journey, you know, you say that, Seth, and we are all microcosms of what they have been able to do. And just in the last 10 years, I think pretty much 10x'd their portfolio and their business.
Right.
And that's on such a much larger scale than we all operate with our small businesses. But it's a testament to the industry, where it's going, the need that the marketplace and the consumer has for the products that we sell or we serve with. And it's exciting. It's good. It's good to be 28.
Yeah.
I have such a already lucrative business, but also such a big, bright future for growth. Yeah.
Absolutely. Rest one. Someone that's listening to this podcast right now, right? Someone's listening. Maybe they're thinking about getting into sales. Maybe they're thinking about getting into insurance sales. What is a piece of advice that you would give them?
I mean, I would say, you know, make sure that you're fully bought in before you do anything, because this isn't something you kind of half go into. So, but if you're fully bought in, you're the right person. You know, you can't teach personality. You can't teach work ethic. If you do have the personality for sale and you know you can work, then all the rest of it is something that, you know, you're going to pick up over time, and it's going to only get better and better. So if you're fully bored, you fully bought in, I would say you will make a better decision in your life than getting into this and opening up your avenues and your horizons, your freedom, your time, your wallet. All those things are going to come with your sales, your insurance, all that good stuff. So I would say be bought in, but make it happen and find a supportive group around you from top to bottom.
Love that. Love that. Love that. So
100%. Yeah, there are a lot of people out there with that perspective, right? That they are not getting the what I'm worth income. And like you said, if you have that personality and you have that drive and you haven't found that opportunity, this is a big time business platform and program that you can plug those into that creates success. So,
those Pat calls them battle buddies, but those guys that you are holding yourself accountable to, and they're doing the same, you know, for me. It's everybody on SCG, but Luke and Jared specifically, we've been getting on calls with Scott and Glenn every Tuesday. And that's really changed perspective, because they're holding us accountable. We're holding each other accountable. And you know, it's just changes that have need to be made are being made. So.
Yeah. Sneak peek. Scott Morris has been mentioned a couple times on this podcast. You guys, if you follow us, you will know who Glenn Crabtree is, who Seth has referred to several times. But Scott is our chief operations officer, and Lindsay and I will be having him on maybe next week or the week after. So
yes.
Soon to come. More to come from Scotty Moe.
Absolutely. Seth, I know that you're growing an agency. So how can, if folks, maybe someone in West Virginia wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, shoot me an email or a text, maybe follow me on social media, but phone lines are always open. We're always looking to partner with the right people.
So, what's your email?
Email is sethwallace@orca.life. So all flows through that Orca wave, baby. And then a good phone number is 502-689-2795. And then, social media I use the most would be probably Instagram, dubbed Shaggy_Wallace. Again, that's Shaggy_Wallace.
I love that we're creeping into a younger market and we're plugged out here, baby. Yes, sir.
I love it. I love it. Seth, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's a great conversation, and I appreciate everything that you all have done for this business, for me in particular, just the ability to reach out, keeping everybody connected and having that kind of business mentor partnership. So I appreciate it. Love you guys. And thanks for everything.
Well, we're thankful for you, and we love you so much. And again, thank you so much to all of our listeners, and have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you all next week.
All right.
See you.
Thank you, Seth.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching in sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's HIPE.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
UFC's media rights is up for grabs in 2025, and a variety of different platforms, including Netflix, could be throwing their hat into the ring. I'm Jim Tarabocchio with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Ultimate Fighting Championship CEO Dana White recently sat down with CNBC to discuss the possible framework of the organization's next media rights deal.
Will it be Disney? Will it be YouTube? Will it be Amazon? Who knows? But yeah, our rights deal is going to be a big deal coming up here. And who knows? We could end up like the NBA and the NFL, where we end up on multiple channels instead of just one.
UFC's current deal with Disney ends at the end of 2025, and TKO Group Holdings owns both the UFC and World Wrestling Entertainment. Significant because earlier this year, the WWE and Netflix agreed to a landmark streaming deal that will see the streaming platform air WWE's Monday Night Raw beginning in 2025. That agreement opened up a further possibility of the UFC following in the streaming footsteps of their fellow subsidiary. Netflix has shown early aggression and has reportedly entered negotiations with the UFC regarding the media rights. TKO Group Holdings CEO Mark Shapiro recently told CNBC the ownership group prides themselves on being ahead of the curve.
So we'll be negotiating on all fronts, if you will. Ari and I will have a pretty big first quarter as we go around the merry-go-round, if you will, to talk to the different players who are interested, potentially splitting the packages. We've got linear, we've got digital, we've got pay-per-view. I mean, there's a lot of options here. We're going to explore all of them.
While details are still under wraps, insiders suggest that Netflix aims to leverage its global reach to attract new UFC fans, offering exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, athlete profiles, and maybe even live coverage of major events. This potential partnership could see live MMA fights broadcast on the streaming giant for the first time, a move that would bring UFC content to millions of households worldwide. And with the growing popularity of combat sports, Netflix's push to diversify its content lineup could be a real game changer for the platform. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabocchia.